All right. Go ahead to Sunday school. And we're going to be in the book of Proverbs in this class. We're going to look at some things in Proverbs in chapter 5 today. And we're going to read the first couple of verses by way of introduction, but we're going to be covering the whole chapter. Starts out in verse 1, it says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh to the door of her house." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask your blessing and your help today as we approach your word. Lord, I pray that this book that we read, this collection of Proverbs, this book of wisdom, Lord, would make us wiser. Lord, that it would help us. Lord, teach us and open our eyes that we can see things the way that you see them. Lord, not the way that we see them. We know that you see things completely different. We want to look through everything through your eyes, Lord, and I pray that you would help us to do that. Bless this lesson and the other ones that are being taught this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This chapter starts off with a call towards discretion. We described the first week when we were looking at Proverbs, and by the way, just to reiterate, this isn't by any means a verse-by-verse study, inclusive study all the way through the book of Proverbs. Basically, what my goal is to whet your appetite to study the book for yourself and to draw out all kinds of things that will help you in this life. It's a father to a son, an older, wiser father, not necessarily a perfect father, but an older and a wiser father who's trying to impart unto his son some wisdom and some discretion. And of course, that relationship has always been one that's been difficult because some of the hardest men to convince are young men, you know, that have their own ways and their own ideas and their own thoughts, and they have yet to really have been hurt by a lot of things in life. And so, fathers, their own, thoughts for their children are try to keep their kids from making the same mistakes that they made, you know. And you look and you see how some things have hurt you in the past, and you don't want to see your kids hurt by those same things. And so there's the appeal here. And he says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding." And this is the difficult part about this kind of a relationship, is because, typically, when you're young, you don't have a lot of discretion. When you're young, you don't have a lot of understanding. And that's why God designed it. You know, there are certain animals in the animal kingdom that, just days after they're born, they're able to walk, and in some species they just go off and they're able to fend for themselves right away. You know, not our offspring. You know, it takes us 18 years to bring somebody to adulthood. And that's if everything goes right, you know. There's some people that, it takes a whole lot longer to bring to adulthood, you know. And praise God if you get there. If you're 34 and you finally become an adult, thank God. But this is the deal. It's an older man. It's an older and a wiser man imparting some wisdom to a younger man. And I And in verse 2 it says that thou mayest regard discretion. You know, it, in the first couple of chapters of the book of Proverbs, we have discretion mentioned several times. And discretion is a really good thing, because what that, basically it's an understanding, it's a thoughtfulness over things that transpire. You know, when you have a little bit of discretion, you not only see the beginning, but you see the end also. And that's also, that's a very wise perspective to have, to be able to see the end of a matter and not just the beginning. If you could see the end of a matter, then that may convince you not to start off on a different, on a particular path to begin with. You know, there are a lot of paths that we, and when I say young men, I understand that I'm also talking about young women, okay? That just the youth in general, you know, the Bible's not a racist or a chauvinist book by any means, but it applies to both. And of course we have verses that, that deal with young women also. But primarily this is dealing with sons and dealing with young men, and that's basically how I'm going to apply it, although it does apply both ways. And so the subject of this particular passage right here is fidelity in marriage, and faithfulness in marriage. And not only that, but a warning against fornication and against sex outside of marriage. And particularly when it comes to breaking vows that you've already made. Some people think that a message like this is a waste of time. The reason why I'm going to spend a passage kind of dealing with it and showing you from chapter 5 is, I don't know if you've started reading the book of Proverbs, but if you read the book of Proverbs, you'd notice that this subject comes over and is dealt with in great detail. And you think, you know, well, God's just messing with us. He's trying to ruin our fun. He's trying to change, you know. Well, let me tell you what God's trying to do. It says, the Bible says there, over there in first part of Proverbs, it says, discretion shall preserve thee. Amen. You know, God designed something for us. Understand this, and I'm going to reiterate this point again, that God is the architect. God is the one who thought all this stuff up. You think it just happened naturally that we evolved and we kind of came together and we kind of formed together as families and as units, and you know, we got grandmothers and grandfathers and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters, and we bond together in society into these units for protection, that we bond together into countries, you know, in order to preserve some things. You know, let me tell you, God set this up. God was the one who said that it's not good for man to be alone. It was God who was the one who created a helpmeet for Adam. It was God who thought up this whole thing about marriage. And sad to say is today, some of the ones who are espoused in society as the wisest ones, as the most progressive ones, have completely turned their back on what God says. You know, they can take away our 501c3 status. You know, that would hurt us some, but it wouldn't stop us. They can take away our bill. They can do all kinds of things. There may come a time when those who preach this traditional form of marriage are going to be the outcast. We already kind of are anyway, because when we preach this as God's way. What I'm saying is that there is not room for two women to be mom and dad, or for two men to be mom and dad. We had a situation a while ago where there were two men, and they were seeking our services, and the gentleman that went and visited, he didn't know. He was just asking, you know. He was curious. He says, which one of you is the husband? They didn't like that too much, you know. He said, well, which one is the wife and which one is the husband? You know, they get all bent out of shape, but you know what we're doing? We are twisting all of this stuff. We're thinking that it's okay that it's perfectly fine for gay men to adopt children and raise them up, and gay women to adopt children and raise them up, or to have all of these alternative kinds of life. You know, there may be some cases, and I've said it before, where you don't have the traditional situation, that maybe there's a single mom or a single dad, and you have to deal with that, and you have to try to be both mom and dad. You know, there are situations where grandparents end up raising their grandchildren. You know, there There are all kinds of different situations, and you just have to do the best you can with what you've got. And if you know the principles, you can do the best you can to try to at least mitigate some of the negative effects. But what God's original design was for there to be a mom, and for there to be a dad, and for the kids to be obedient to both mom and dad, not taking them to court, not suing them, but to be obedient to mom and dad for specific purposes, for training in life, and for the mom and dad to be intent on the wise and right training of those children so that, they can grow up to be well-adjusted, happy, able to fend for themselves in society. It was God's design. And it really bothers me that traditional form is almost being ridiculed these days as not being progressive, as not being inclusive. And I just want to say that this is the way God made it to be. And that design brings an incredible amount of benefits that other situations just don't have. He says that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge. In verse 3, he just dives right into what the heart of the matter is. He says, for the lips of a strange woman, they drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. So he introduces the subject to his son. This is what the subject's going to be. He's going to talk to his son about strange women. And I'm not talking about women that act strange or that are weird or anything like that. That's not what he's talking about, strange women. He's talking about women that are outside of the marriage bed. A strange woman, in my case, I have a woman, her name is Judy. Any other woman entering into that relationship is a strange woman. It's an outsider. It's a stranger. It's somebody who doesn't belong there. And so that's what he's talking about. He's talking about someone who has no place in this particular relationship. So the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb. Now this is how we're going to look at it. We're going to look at it in this way. You can look at it as arguments for faithfulness. You can see it as warnings against fornication. But we've got several things in this passage that I'm going to identify. And the first one is right here, where he begins to argue from the position of discretion. He's going to argue just a little bit later from the position of the facts. And then down a little bit farther there towards verse 11, there's going to be a confession over somebody who's actually gotten messed up here. And so we're going to have the argument from one who's actually been there. And then able to tell you what the consequences are. And then verse 15, we're going to look at the argument in light of contrast, contrasting it what's good and godly. And then one more argument towards the end where we just argue just based on just the destruction that it causes. The first section here, let's read the whole section right there. It says, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Now, not only in this passage right here, I'm not going to read chapter 7, but in chapter 7, you can also find another lengthy description of a strange woman. And this woman is one who is taking a young man and causing him to forget his vows towards his wife and to go and to lay with her. Now, you've seen it over and over again in the Bible. It's a problem that is not new with mankind. Adultery and fornication is a very old problem, is one that men have struggled with since the beginning and are going to continue to struggle with. And if a man says he has no problems or temptations or any inclinations that way, I usually don't believe him. I'm sure that every now and then that's probably the case, but this is pretty much, a universal problem with men. And of course, there's a problem with women also. I sure don't want to exclude them in the mix. But since this is characterized towards men, that's kind of how I want to present it. And let me tell you what discretion will teach you. Discretion will teach you the end of the matter. Because he starts off and he says, the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb. Her mouth is smoother than oil. Man, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? You know, sex appeal is a real thing. You look at advertisements, and I was looking just through this binder that I had when I used to give abstinence seminars to different school groups, and Mike Pemberton had originally given me the thing that he used, and I thought it was a really good deal, and tweaked it a little bit, and actually was able to go into public institutions for a while and teach these abstinence courses, and it's an amazing thing how many kids their eyes are just open. They've never understood. And what I did is I had a whole big thing that I would show them these advertisements. And I mean, advertisements for all kinds of stuff. Advertisements for, aftershave. Advertisements for cigarettes. Advertisements for soap, whatever it is, Advertisements for food. Restaurants, all kinds of different things. Cruises. And invariably, there would be a very attractive and well-dressed woman in the mix. Now you tell me that there wasn't a reason for that. It's because it's appealing to men. And and sex, it sells. You take a car and you just set it out by itself, people may not buy it. Why do car dealerships take pretty women and put them out and have them over by the car? Why don't they take somebody like me and have me stand by the car? Because that doesn't sell. In fact, that may be a real detriment, How come they don't take one of them did, There was actually a car company that did use a very elderly and rough-looking woman in their advertisements, and I thought it was very effective. It was a World Car, World Car Center or something like that. And he would have those trucks. And at the end, this woman would come on and she'd look straight into the camera and she said, "Don't you buy no ugly truck." I thought that was real effective. But that's the exception rather than the rule, all right? The exception. Now, if you have some discretion, you're going to look past that. You know how many men are idiots, man. And I don't mind saying that because I'm a man, and at times I have fought like an idiot, We just run pell-mell to whatever. Let me tell you something. And nowadays, I got all these thoughts in my head. I'm trying to get them all out in order. So it may not be in order. Those of you that have ADD, you'll enjoy this. But this, in our modern day of technology, and the ability to be able to see across the globe, it's become just that much more of a problem. Maybe back in the old days, if you were a farmer with your wife and, maybe you saw another woman when you went to town every 6 months or something like that, it wasn't as much of a problem. But it's a problem.
Amen.
Because I drive and I see the billboards.
Amen.
And they put women on the billboards. And by the way, those women, they are not ugly women. And you know what the promise is? Is you buy this particular product, or you invest in this particular deal, or go to this particular place, then this is going to be your lot, And... read the scriptures, man. You just read those two passages right there. You know that it's a lie, but it still works with you, doesn't it? It's an amazing thing. The lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But here's what discretion's going to tell you. Discretion's going to tell you, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword.
Amen.
That's what discretion will tell you.
Right.
You see, here's this man, and he's this older gentleman, and he's trying to take his young son, and he's trying to teach him some wisdom, and he's trying to say, hey, look past the facade. Look past the outside. Completely forgot what I was going to say next. Oh, yeah. I had a friend one time who wanted this particular girl. He just, man, and I tell you, you know, what do you want with her? You know, I didn't particularly care for her too much. She was very attractive. And he said, just think about how she's going to look on my arm. And that was really his argument why he wanted this girl. Just think about how she's going to look on my arm. I said, when? When you're 20 or when you're 90? Seriously, you think about the end of a matter. If all you're looking for is looks, you know, some men are so, they are just brainless. They are dead. You know, they think that because a woman is attractive, that means that's all that they're looking for. Man, let me tell you something, young men. Those of you that are looking for wives or that haven't found wives, you better look for character.
Amen.
You better find someone who's got some character. You better find someone who's got some strength. You better find someone who's got some inner fortitude. That kind of a woman will carry you a whole lot farther than someone who's just pretty on the outside. Mike Pemberton said one time, beauty is skin deep, but ugly goes down to the bone. And believe me, that's where we all are.
Right.
He said, the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb. Her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death and her steps take hold on hell. Man, that's pretty drastic. Let me tell you how drastic that is. Is that if you go down certain roads, you say, I can tell you, you know that path right there? It's going to lead you to hell. It's going to take you straight to hell. Let me tell you why. Because you start going down a path. You know the score. You know how it works. You start walking down the path, right? And you start walking away from God. What happens to your heart when you walk away from God? What happens to your heart when you walk away from good, sound instruction? Let me tell you what happens to my heart. When I start walking away from what I know is good and right, and I start heading in the direction of something that is evil and wicked, but that I perceive as something that's going to be good for me, when someone does give you some advice, you despise it. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. How many of you heard that you tried to talk to them? You tried to tell them, look, don't go down that road. And they don't want to hear it. They said, shh, you know, be quiet, leave me alone. I don't want to hear it, you know. They put their fingers in their ears and they run away. Why? They don't want to listen to wisdom and instruction. But here's a dad saying, look, you don't want to go down that road. Adultery is not an affair. It is not a technique to spice up your marriage. It doesn't strengthen. I actually read an article that said adultery can do wonders to strengthen a marriage. That is a fool talking. I'm serious, an absolute fool. Let me tell you, the only thing that will strengthen a marriage is to dedicate yourself to the marriage. Now, if all you're thinking about is the outward, then you're going to be pretty disappointed as time marches on. Because the outward fades.
Amen.
You know, I never thought it possible when I was 21 years old that I could ever be attracted to someone who was 50. When I was 20, I was thinking, man, that is disgusting, you know? To be attracted to someone who's 50? But let me tell you, I'm attracted to someone who's 50. You see, God knows what He's doing. God got this stuff figured out, man. God's not trying to take away your fun. God's trying to keep you from messing up your life. God's trying to teach you how to do things to where you can actually have a happy life. to where you can have some good in your life and you can have some enjoyment in your life. Now, he says, he's very strong, but he says that these ways are going to take hold on hell. And there are men who walk away from God and go in a different direction, and then their heart gets so hard that when men do try to preach to them and the Word of God does come to them, that they're too hard to accept it, and then they die hardened. And their feet surely have, they've gone all the way to hell. And their lives have been destroyed. Now, if you have any concept of discretion, then you're going to want what's good for you. You're going to want what's right for you.
Amen.
So we're going to actually expand on this a little bit, but he says there in verse 6, he said, lest you got to heed this warning here. He said, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. And he's beginning to describe this woman here. He says, her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. Now, someone told me a long time ago that if a woman is willing to sleep with you as a married man, or she's willing to leave her husband and go with you and break her vows, then why in the world would you at all entertain any kind of notion that she's going to be faithful to you? You know, but men say, oh, yeah, you know, and I read another news article just the other day about this girl, and she was all bummed out because the man that she was hoping to marry, hoping to bear children with, hoping to do all these things, she was just so angry and depressed because her life was over. And she said, and of all things, he decided that he was going to go back with his wife. Man, wouldn't it have been great if that girl would have had some discretion? She would have never got involved in the first place. She would have never got involved. Let me tell you, some people called me picky when I was single. I deem that as a badge of honor. Hey, you're just too picky. Well, you know what? Let me tell you something. I know how to cook. I can iron. I even know how to sew. So I don't need a wife to take care of me in that sense. You know, I could do all those things. I could continue living. What was it you told me one time, Lindell? I was real young, and you said something. You said better to want what you don't have than to have what you don't want. But let me tell you, I was looking for something. I had a vision in my mind, and you know what? It was. And let me tell you what, thank God that I got saved before I got married. Because I was this fool right here. I was the one that had all the wrong impressions about what a good wife was. And then God had mercy on me and actually gave me a good wife.
Amen.
She's sitting right back there. And let me tell you what, she's a good wife.
Amen.
And we're going to celebrate 25 years this year. It's going to be, we're actually going to have a party. We were discussing Saturday morning over breakfast, and the kids were there, and we were talking, you know, it would be cool if when you guys hit 25 years that, you know, we could kind of have something. And I said, yeah, you know, we could kind of have a renewing of the vows, you know, and go through some old pictures and invite people and eat and have a good time. And so we were talking about this. Yeah, man, we ought to do that. And we started looking at, well, you know, when is this going to be? You know, when do we got, how long do we have to prepare for it? Well, we started counting the years, and man, this year's 25 years. It was this year, man. It just came upon us all of a sudden. Let me tell you something. The way God does things is really cool. I've got friends who have gone the other route. And let me tell you what, they're disillusioned. They're lonely. They're depressed. They're angry. Some of them are bitter. And some of them are still thinking that somehow they are going to find what they're looking for in their present lifestyle, going to bars and picking up women and doing all that. Let me tell you, you're not going to find it. Their steps are going to lead down to hell.
Amen. Amen.
But he says, her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. You know, if she's willing to cheat on her husband, then she's willing to lie to you.
Amen.
Her ways are movable. She's going to do whatever she can to try to convince you. Listen, don't go that route. Don't go that way. Let me give you some more advice. If you've got a wife right now, I'm not one of those that say, you know, you got to divorce and go back and try to find your original wife if you're married and remarried. I'm talking about the wife you have right now. You got her? You know what you ought to do? You ought to do everything in your power to learn everything in this book about how to be a good husband to that wife.
Amen.
I hear a lot of men complaining about their wives and complaining, well, you know, the reason why I'm actually looking around is because, when maybe the reason she's that way is because of you.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of men, they're just idiotic. You know, maybe I shouldn't use that word, but you ought to study how to bless your wife.
Amen.
You ought to study how to make her happy. That's one of the reasons you're married to her. It's your job, Tim. If your wife is unhappy, it's up to you to figure out how to help that woman.
Amen.
And men and women, they both have problems. That's why God puts us together. The Bible says two are better than one, for they have a good reward for their labor. It's not all bluebirds singing in the trees, you know, and sunny days. The Bible says a brother is born for adversity, you know, and God puts us together. Sometimes you just got to go through some hard things. Let me tell you, I don't care what you're tempted with today. You will never solve your problems by going outside of the marriage.
Amen.
You will never solve your problems by sleeping with that woman that's out there at the office. You're never going to solve your problems by going down there on Broadway and finding yourself a prostitute. It's not going to solve your problems to do anything. Everything that you need is in that marriage right there.
Amen.
And what you don't get, you need to ask God to help you.
Amen.
The rule is simple. Don't break your vow. Don't go outside of the marriage bond. Man, you're so limiting. Well, you're right. God is limiting.
Amen.
Because He's trying to keep you. I remember we got up to the Grand Canyon, and there was a fence there. And I said, man, why do they want to ruin the Grand Canyon by putting a chain link fence right here? They did. You know why? It's because some fool just walked right out. They didn't know that there was the end of the cliff right there, you know? That's why they put the fence, because people were dumb enough to go right up to the edge and then keep on going and rock right over. You need a fence, man. You need God to say, don't go here and don't go there, because you're going to fall. Don't think that God's limiting you by keeping you just within the bonds of marriage. God's trying to help you. Look what He says a little bit farther. He gives an appeal here. And he wants to give you some facts. And man, if we wanted to load you up with facts, we could. He says, hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. And then He gives some advice. He says, remove thy way far from her and come not nigh to the door of her house. Man, that is good, simple, practical wisdom. Put some distance. Real simple, right? I tell young people all the time, you know, it's not time to figure out where your lines are when you're in the back seat of a car with somebody. When the fire's raging, that's not time to be trying to figure out how the fire extinguisher works. You do that beforehand. You try to figure out what's going on beforehand. Let me tell you, he says, remove thy way far from her. I didn't know much when I became a Christian. And I learned very quickly that things were going to get real messed up if I didn't set some lines. So I made a decision that I wasn't going to date. And a lot of people thought I was crazy. They thought I was, you know, backwards. They thought I was picky. You know, maybe it was that part about being the Baptist or the rapture. I don't know. We had a little thing. It was mostly in jest. I never really believed it seriously. But, you know, I decided, you know, it's best just to, You know, doesn't 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 say it's good for a man not to touch a woman? People ask me all the time, well, how far should I go? You know, as far away as you can get. Now, if you call me a prude because I didn't want to hold your hand and I didn't want to kiss you and get into a big lip lock with you and all these things, man, that's fine. You call me whatever you want. And I actually, soon after that, I saw a book in the library and it says, I Kiss Dating Goodbye. And I says, now there's a man with some wisdom right there. Finally, someone agrees with me. You know, just hands off, back off, get some distance. Some people are they have problems. And let me tell you, not all adultery, it starts with actually going out and finding you a woman. Especially now today with technology, a lot of adultery starts in your own living room.
Amen. That's right.
Well, I just don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I've got, it's late at night and I've got the internet and I'm pulling up all these images and I just don't know how to stop. Man, I can tell you how to stop.
Amen.
You take a big set of bolt cutters and you cut that cable.
Amen.
Oh, but then that means I'm not going to have internet. Well, then don't have internet.
Amen.
I'm telling you something. If that's what causes you to stumble, man, just get rid of it.
Amen.
You say, well, we can't survive without internet these days. Oh, yeah, you can.
Amen.
There are still books.
Amen.
You know, there's still ways to work around things. But we're connected, right? We're connected on our phone. We're connected on our computers. We're connected on all these things. You've got to get a mentality in your mind that this is not something good that's being presented to me. This is an enemy that will destroy my life.
Amen.
That's what he's trying to teach you. He's trying to get you to see the whole picture, not just what Satan wants to present to you. There used to be a commercial on TV. I've mentioned it many times. I'll mention it again today. I don't care. But them guys sitting around the campfire, and they're drinking their Michelobes, right? It's at the end of the day. And one of the guys just kind of sighs. And he looks at the other ones, and he says, you know, it just doesn't get any better than this. I don't know if you used to see that commercial, man. He used to just crack me up. It doesn't get any better than this. And sometimes I'd almost be yelling into the screen, oh yeah, it does. It gets a lot better. If you drop that beer and you take Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, man, it would get a lot better. You wouldn't have to go out into the woods and drink beer with the guys. You'd have better things to do. But don't they just present to you all this awesome presentation, man, that, man, this is where it's at. And what they don't show you is they don't show you one thing that I saw one time, a guy that got so messed up on alcohol. Me and Greg Reese were there at the rescue mission, and this guy stood up, and he's starting to tremble and shake, and he says, I'm cold, I'm cold. And he goes out into the back, and we follow him out there to try to help him, and he dies right there on the doorstep. And we reach into his pocket, and we pull out a half a bottle of rubbing alcohol. He had killed himself with alcohol. He say, but that's not in the commercial. You're right, man. If they showed you that, you wouldn't do anything.
Yeah, amen.
Oh, they show you that woman, right? I know she's pretty. What does it say? The lips drop like a honeycomb, you know? And her mouth is smoother than oil. Oh, you know the image. I wonder if they show you the same one with her body all eaten up with lesions and sores from STDs. No, they don't want to show you that part. They don't want to show you kids that don't have a mom or a dad or the destruction that comes. They don't want to show you the scenario where the husband of the one who was victimized by adultery goes out in a blind rage and shoots not only his wife, but his wife's lover and kills her. And then he ends up in prison and the kids get spread. Oh, they don't show you all that stuff. But see, he wants to argue with from the facts. He says, stay away. He says, lest thou give thine honor to others and thy years unto the cruel. He's trying to teach you something. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. He says it's going to take away your honor. You say, well, how does it take away your honor? You know, because men that can go sleep around, you know, they're considered real studs, right? Well, apparently not. Apparently, thank God, we've still got some honor in this country when one of our, and a good general too, gets passed over from promotion and dishonored because he had an affair. Hey, amen, that encouraged me. It didn't encourage me that our generals are sleeping around, but it did encourage me that at least we had some desire to stand against that and say, no, we're not going to make you top Allied commander because you had this indiscretion over here. Of course, we call it sin. Oh, it'll take away your honor.
Amen.
It'll take away your honor. It'll take away your wealth.
Amen.
Say, well, how in the world is it going to take away my wealth? I'm not going to say his name, but ask a former prominent mayor of San Antonio whether it takes away his wealth. Didn't he have a big $500,000 some odd payoff for a woman who was he had quote unquote indiscretions with? Yeah, it'll take away. How about, you know, they're one of those basketball players. I don't remember how many kids he was paying child support to, but he made $1.2 million a year and he didn't have enough money hardly to make his payments because he's paying so much child support. Yeah, it'll make you poor. You don't believe me? No, better just believe me.
Amen.
Better not try it on your own. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. Oh, it'll destroy you. I don't know how many diseases we have that would just simply, well, they wouldn't go away now because now they're in the general population being spread around. But how many never would have been introduced in the beginning if men would be faithful to their wives and wives would be faithful to their husband? And how many diseases we wouldn't have to put up with, not to mention the stress and the unhappiness and the yelling and all of the broken hearts and all of that kind of stuff that go along with it. He's trying to argue from the facts. He argues from discretion. Look at the big picture. See what the end is. And then he argues from facts. He says, you are going to ruin your life. Yes. Don't do it.
Amen.
Say, but you don't know what I have to put up with. No, you better look at the whole deal, man. Maybe what you're dealing with right now isn't near as bad as what you'd have to deal with if you went against what God has to say. Look at verse 12. You know, he starts making a little confession here, and I've always thought it was a real effective thing. They take young kids sometimes, you know, from the ages about 12 through 14, and sometimes what they'll do is they'll take them to prisons. And I actually think this is a pretty effective deal, you know. And they'll get all these punk kids who think that they're tough. They really aren't, but they just think that they're tough. And they're walking all proud and everything, and they bring them into this room, and then they let some old, grizzled lifers from the penitentiary come down and start talking to them. And they've actually, you know, filmed these little deals, and it's actually quite effective. You know, these kids coming in thinking they're hot stuff and everything, and then the old guys just start rattling up all the things that they did to screw up their lives and all the bad things that happened to them and how now their lives are miserable and their lives mean nothing and they'll never get out and they're never going to have anything because they didn't do what was right. And some of these kids just get shocked when they see what the end of this is. Let me tell you, it's time we stop glorifying sin.
Amen.
You ought to limit what you see on the
Amen.
On the TV.
Because
it'll make things glorious, man. It'll make adultery look like the funnest thing in the world. And I always wondered, you know, and all of those really hot scenes, why everything's so fuzzy, you know? It never is with me, you know. Everything's clear, man. You know, they use cameras and lighting and sounds and music. You know, I kiss my wife. Sometimes I hear music. Sometimes I don't, you know. But how come it is whenever they want to have some sort of a scene that they build it up? Let me tell you, they're playing with you. They're leading you on. They're trying to make you see what's not really there. It's all a facade and it's all a joke. The confession is, and say, this is the person who mourns at the last when everything he has been taken away. How have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof? Can you feel the regret? Can you feel the, oh man, why did I do that? And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation in the assembly. He starts talking about how he ignored wisdom and instruction. And then in the congregation of the assembly, he was in all evil. He lost his reputation. He lost his health. He lost his wealth. Everything was gone. Listen, if discretion doesn't convince you to do things God's way, if you just can't somehow see the big picture, if the facts themselves don't move you, man, then look at somebody who it's happened to and see what's happened to them and let that convince you that it's better to go God's way.
Amen.
Verse 15 kind of changes this, and it changes the tempo a little bit. And it's given in the sense of advice here. And it actually provides a comparison. And the comparison is striking. It says, drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about your own wife. It says, let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. Now, some people say that refers to children. I'm not sure, but it sure looks positive. He says, let them be thine own and not strangers with thee. You see, the whole thing is that there's a relationship that God set up. It's between a man and a woman, and that's it. No third party involved. It's not swinging. It's not progressive, it's not modern, it's wicked.
Amen.
When you bring a third party into the marriage relationship. God knew what he was doing when he had one man and one woman committed to each other for life. You avoid a whole lot of problems. And he's trying to show you, he says, hey man, this is a better way to live. When you go get advice, don't look to the playboy who's been married four times for advice on marriage.
Yeah.
You know what you find? Find somebody with gray hair. Find somebody who's got some wrinkles in their face. You know, find somebody who's been together for a long time and go ask one of them, say, hey, what's the deal here? I remember, one time we were walking in the mall and I saw this old guy, just a little old man, you know, and a woman was a lot bigger than him. You know, she's walking along and they're just holding hands, you know, and they're talking quietly among themselves, you know, and they're just walking. There wasn't anybody else in the mall except for them, according to them, you know, and I looked over at that and I had my wife and I had and we were young and I looked over at that and I said, check that out, man. That's us. And she said, no. Because she didn't want to get old then, you know. Wait a little while before we get old. She didn't want to think about it right then, but I was all excited. I said, man, that's us. You know, to me, that was a dream. And you know, should circumstances work out right that we both live, I want to be an old man all hunched over with my gray-haired wife, hand in hand, walking in the mall. You say, oh man, that's not what the advertisements show though. But I'm telling you what, that's what God shows. Your drinking buddies aren't going to be around when you're old. But you have a faithful wife or a faithful husband, man, that's a cool thing. He said, drink waters out of thine own cistern. Let thy fountains dispersed abroad. Let them be thine only and not strangers with thee. He said, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. He said, let her be as the loving hind in the pleasant roe. I had a couple conversations about this. I haven't quite got the doctrine on this one figured out yet. I don't know what a loving hind in a pleasant roe has to do with my wife. I guess that's why I call her dear, maybe. I don't know. Brother was talking to me, Todd. He said, you put a deer feeder out. You know, we were looking at different, you know, analysis trying to figure out how this plays out. I'm not sure how deer fit in with faithful women, but But it does say, let her be loving and pleasant. Let her breast satisfy. Oh, we're not allowed to say that in church. Well, it's in the Bible. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love.
Amen.
Now, somebody looking on the outside at an old couple, they see an old man and the old woman. They don't see anything physical that anybody could be ravished with. Well, that's where the lie of this world has come in. Because they say in order to be satisfied and happy and ravished, you got to be beautiful. You got to be cut just right, you know. The men have to have their pecs up here and their six packs down here. You know, everything's just got... No, that is a lie, man. Let me tell you what the sexiest thing in the world is to commit yourself to one woman for the rest of your life. Never have to worry when they're going out the door, wonder where they're going, wonder who they're going to see. Man, my time is up. I can't believe this. You get the picture. Godly living is better than wicked living any day of the week.
Amen.
I'm not worried I'm going to get herpes from my wife. I'm not worried that things are going to happen. Man, I'm telling you something. There is a safety. There is a blessing. There is a rejoicing. There is a joy in doing things God's way. There is nothing but destruction and misery and heartache for doing things outside of God's will.
Amen.
That's what he's trying to teach you right here. Sorry, we don't have time to wrap it up.